Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. We've been praying for years now. And before us, you know, we joined in with the choir of prayer coming out of International House of Prayer, Kansas City, under Mike Bickle there and Lou Engle, and praying, dear God, end abortion, send revival. End abortion, send revival. Mm-hmm. And that's what will come to when we begin to no longer shed innocent blood. You know, then there's hope for that. There's hope for a revival, a third great awakening. I want you to hear right here. This is a Florida legislature committee interviewing someone who's representing the Planned Parenthood. Now, I want you to hear the heart of the argument that she is making as they're asking just questions about abortion, about the life of the child, about a botched abortion where the baby is still alive. And listen what Planned Parenthood says. Listen very carefully to this. And there's going to be some, there's going to be a video that's available on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and get it. And there'll be some text. So I'll read that text to you as we're progressing along. And I want you to hear this because this is their argument and it will just shock you to the core. Listen up. Planned Parenthood gave testimony to the Florida legislature regarding the role of abortionists when a baby is born during a botched abortion.
What we are discussing here is in the event that a human being is born and in need of medical care, what do we do?
Planned Parenthood commits more than 330,000 abortions
if
a year.
If a baby is born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, what would Planned Parenthood want to have happen to that child that's struggling for life?
We believe that, you know, any decision that's made should be left up to the woman, her family, and the physician.
Planned Parenthood receives $542 million in taxpayers' money, half their budget.
In a situation where a baby is alive, breathing on a table, moving, what do your physicians do at that point?
I do not have that information. I am not a physician. I'm not an abortion provider.
I understand that you're not a physician, but you...
Since 2002, federal law recognizes that an infant born alive is a person with recognized rights.
You represent
physicians
who do perform this activity. And can you tell me what happens when a baby is alive on the table at that point? What do they do with the baby that is struggling to live?
Well, you know, we don't know even how prevalent this situation is.
I don't know how else I can get an answer, Mr. Chairman.
Planned Parenthood hands out 1.4 million abortion pills each year.
You stated that that a baby born on a table as a result of a botched abortion, that decision should be left to the doctor and the family. Is that what you're saying?
That decision should be between the patient and the healthcare provider.
I think that at that point, the patient would be the child struggling on a table. Wouldn't you agree?
That's a very good question. I really don't know how to answer that. I think, you know, I would be glad to have some more, you know, conversations with you about this.
51% of Planned Parenthood's clinics' income comes from committing abortions.
What objection could you possibly have to obligate a doctor to transport a child born alive to a hospital where it seems to me they would be most likely to be able to survive?
What about this, and I'm just speaking out here, what about those situations where it's in a rural healthcare setting, the hospital is 45 minutes, an hour away, that's closest trauma center, emergency room. You know, there's just some logistical issues involved that we've got some concerns about.
Who cares if it's a rural health clinic? If there's a baby born that's struggling, we ought to do, I think that's every right for us to intervene if we have to make sure that that struggling child survives. And to say that we're inserting politics in it is just ludicrous. This is just, again, like Representative Davis says, I can't imagine that we're having this conversation. It's a great bill, and I look forward to supporting it.
What you're saying, if you oppose it, is you have a living baby struggling to survive, and you do something other. I don't even want to talk about what you do, but you do something other than resuscitate and save the baby. And I would urge your support of this bill. It makes total sense. I congratulate the sponsor.
Boy, I've been pro-choice my whole life, and I can't think of a more sensible bill in this regard. So I'll cut it short, and I'll support the bill. Thank you.
Sign the petition to defund Planned Parenthood at aclj.org. Think about that. That's amazing. That is the Florida legislature interviewing somebody from Planned Parenthood that is having this ludicrous argument.
Crazy.
And you got to see their faces, because they're just watching each other's face. Are you really saying this? And then as she's talking as a representative for Planned Parenthood, she's realizing, I sound really evil here. I mean, she's right. And then he's going, I don't even want to talk about what you do to that baby who's on the table there. Which they kill the baby.
Yeah,
exactly.
And she was, it's like, and which is, you know, we've been praying, God, end abortion, send revival. We have to begin to look at our sin for what it is. I mean, when we look at our sin, we all go, oh my goodness, Lord, I'm so evil. I've done so wrong. I've done these bad things. And God says, you know, he's already known all along. And then we say, God, it was sin. Forgive me. And he does. He does forgive, and then he begins to restore. But when they over 51% of their funding comes from you, the taxpayer. That's what we are paying for. We're paying for over 330,000 abortions plus 1.2 million abortions that happen not on the table but by the pill, which is 1,533,000 abortions every single year now.
At the tune of $542 million taxpayers' dollars.
So when you pay in your taxes in a couple of days, on whatever, you know, when you pay your taxes on April the 15th, think about that. That money is gonna go to that particular organization which that lady was representing, that's gonna allow that child to die on the table and kill it because the woman didn't wanna have the baby.
Wow.
Or the man didn't want her to have the baby. Whoever it was, didn't want that baby to live, even to the point when they saw it alive, they would. And the thing about it, you know, defund it. Our tax dollars shouldn't be paying for abortion.
That's right.
We shouldn't be doing that. That's deeply against the values of the Constitution of the United States, against our biblical principles, and against God. It's a sin against God. Mm-hmm. Will God forgive you? Yes. You should see, when you see these legislatures, and you can go, this is from Florida Sunshine Television or whatever, where they video the legislators. You're seeing the firsthand meeting, which are normally pretty boring meetings or whatever, and these guys are just shocked. They're all shocked. Wow. Even the one that's speaking up for Planned Parenthood is trying to say, oh, my goodness. And you know what? This is the question I would have asked. I would have asked this question because she was a lady, because she was kind of obviously avoiding the answer. Mm-hmm. And say, well, okay, we understand that, but let me ask this question. If that was you, and you were having what now is a legal abortion, but it was a botched abortion, and you saw that your child was alive, what would you have done? And you know, if she would have said, which she probably would have said, I would, you know, take care of my child, then she would have been fired from Planned Parenthood. But then she would have said, I would have went ahead and killed the child. Then the whole thing would have, when she was caught between darkness and sin.
Exactly.
And it's just time. Dear God, we ask you now. We ask you now, end abortion. Send revival.
Yes, Lord.
Say it with me. If you're listening around, just say, dear God, end abortion.
End abortion.
Send revival.
Send revival.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Dear God.
End abortion.
End abortion.
End abortion.
Send revival.
Send revival.
Send revival.
Or you've got to hear Planned Parenthood testifying to the Florida legislature about botched abortions and what they believe, which means this: you went to kill the child and the child ended up alive. And they're starting to talk about what do you do with it. And so the representatives of the legislature are asking just legitimate questions about a bill that addresses obviously a botched abortion, and how, and they asked this question. You can go back in here in the first hour, but they asked the Planned Parenthood representative that, what do you do? I mean, what would you do? What does Planned Parenthood recommend basically you do that if it was a botched abortion and now the child was born alive? And she says, well, I would, that's pretty much up to the patient. And then he responds, well, isn't the child a patient at this point?
Wow.
Yeah.
And the law says in 2002, it is, the child is.
Wow.
And it was like, it was just amazing how it just, the evilness of the whole thing is just was
just exposed.
It was exposed, even to the one that was testifying.
Exactly.
That she was left there with the reality. What part don't you understand? We understand we're killing our children, but you don't understand, you know, if we have these children, then we'll have to give up our life to raise them, you know, and it'll determine my next promotion or whatever. It's like, what are you, when is killing somebody all right so you can get advancement in life? What happened? And I can't wait. Soon we'll be talking about the 60s and just saying, you know, things that happened since those days, and what people call liberation now is ended up being just this year alone, 1.5 million deaths of children, 50% of marriages ending in divorce. And it started in the 60s. Where
sounds more like bondage.
Yeah, it's bondage where, you know, that a woman has a right to choose. The birth control pill came out. As soon as the birth control pill came out, women who said we were all remained virgins because we feared pregnancy. But they said, but once we didn't fear pregnancy anymore, then the sexual revolution happened in the 60s. So the sexual revolution came because no longer was there a fear of pregnancy. But what they found out is the pill don't always work. And so then the next area that they focused on, I guess we're talking about it now, is, well, somehow we have to now be able to take the child out once it's conceived already, because the pill didn't work. And so we still had to have children, and we didn't want to do that. And this is not every woman. This is just the ones that was involved in that, and men were involved in it as well. She didn't get pregnant alone in the sexual revolution. And so then they begin to look for someone to use as a test case. And that's the way Florida law works. You got to be able to take a case to the Supreme Court, and you got to be able to set precedent. And they were looking for a case to set precedent. And for those of you that are my age, which is older than Pat.
Really old.
Is,
older than me.
You may remember, I can't tell you her name, but she had a little program called Romper Room. And in Romper Room, it was like black and white television where she had a little a mirror, and she would look into this mirror with no mirror there. And she'd say, I see Pat. I see John.
Well,
you know,
we,
and it's sort of like the, I guess, the Purple Dragon. The Purple Dragon, you guys watch, is that right? The Purple Dragon or the dinosaur?
I never watched that.
Yeah, you love me.
We weren't born at that.
We're one great big family.
That was my oldest.
Well, they're great big. Talking to us. A kiss from me to you. Anyway, so listen.
I don't know.
So, but she, her husband went overseas and got some sort of medication over there. That back then, I mean, we learn from medications today from accidents that happened in the past. Well, she took this particular medication, and it's in history. I don't have it in front of me right now because I wouldn't plan on talking about it, but this is,
intro
to it. And she took it, and it caused her baby to be deformed in her womb. And so it was majorly situation. So she went to her local doctor, and this is the Romper Room lady. She goes to the doctor, and she says that I need to end this pregnancy because I've took this medication. I didn't know that it does this, and now I know it does it. And a lot of women were taking it at that time. And the doctor said, I can't do it. And immediately, the NOW organization, all they grabbed a hold of that, you know, Gloria Steinem, they grabbed a hold of that. And they said, we're going to take this and ride this case all the way up, because the Romper Room lady, and I would tell you her name, but I can't tell you her name because I wasn't planning on this. She goes all the way to Sweden, and so the press is covering this now. She goes all the way, I think, to Sweden, another country, to go ahead and have this abortion. And so people begin to be somewhat, you know, empathetic towards this whole situation. But that didn't work. That didn't work. And so in the context of that, they had a pitcher. Yeah. And this, of course, is allegedly what's being reported. It is reported by the public television, by the way. They have all the video footage. And some of the things I'm telling you, I heard it from their mouths. I heard it from the romper room lady say this on video. I'm not talking about what I heard somewhere. They had a video of her telling us. And our Gloria Steinem was talking about, you know, this is what we did. And she's seeing there's nothing wrong. She's seeing it as, you know, we just need to get this resolved. And a woman has, you know, right over her body, and she could do away with her child if she needs to. And that didn't work. And so then they started a new magazine. I think Gloria Steinem's magazine may have been Woman. I don't know what it was, but it was that was the magazine that women would read who were watching, you know, Rhoda and That Girl and
wow, you're going way back.
Yeah, well, this is when it was happening. There was another one, I can't think of her name, but the original one. And so that didn't work. So then they had a woman who, women were trying to give themselves abortions, and they did for years. They've done that. Wow. And that's what happened prior to that. They would just do it secretly or whatever. And some women, and this particular woman was found dead in a hotel because she tried to abort her own baby. And she was in a fetal position, and I guess she probably bled to death because that's what, you know, it's your body.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tragic loss. But she, Gloria Steinem, you know, according to PBS, and Gloria was talking about it on PBS, that they took that picture of that crime scene, and they put it in her magazine. And when people saw the image of this lady who had taken her life by taking her child, that began to just stir things majorly.
Mm.
But wow. Still, that still didn't do it. And today you're seeing remnants of those who stood up for righteousness back then. And there was this one particular housewife. I can't tell you her name either. I'll have all this for you in the future. But, you know, this is how we got here. This is how we got here. And finally, they found a case. And the case was, and John, you know the lady's name, but it's Roe versus Wade.
Norma McCorvey?
Yeah. Say it again?
Norma McCorvey.
Yeah, they saw her case, and they were looking for her. Norma wasn't looking for them. And they took her case, and they ran her all to the Supreme Court. And they took it, and they took it there, and the Supreme Court ruled in favor of pro-choice to a certain point, that you could take your child at a certain point. So what happened was the pill came, and women who protected their virginity because they didn't want to be pregnant, you know, they would say no to that man, you know. Mm-hmm. Now they had no reason to do that because the pill would keep them from getting pregnant, they supposed. Then that didn't always work. So then that progressed to, okay, now we got to be able to take the child if the child gets conceived. And it ended up in 1973, I believe, in Roe versus Wade. And now here we are today, this far along, in the Florida legislature just recently, where Planned Parenthood, who is leading this charge, is birthed out of all that, is sitting here saying, okay, if the child comes out alive, what do you do?
Wow.
And so, and what she was saying by not saying anything, we take the child. Don't you understand that child cannot live unless we allow it to live?
Mm.
That's what they're saying. I mean, that's what's being said. That if we want that child to live, it'll live. If we don't want that child to live, listen, I am the mother of this child, so I will determine whether it will live or not. Period.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm,
that's totally what's being said. And it's like, how did it get? I think we're going all the way back to saying, listen, and you know, that's whatever the world's doing is fine. You know, that's between them and whoever. But I'm talking about the church. The statistics say that Christian, they've been God. But the church, you know, those that profess to be Christians, that they got pulled all into that. And now you have, you know, people say, what's the big deal about birth control? What's the big deal about this? You know, what is your motive? You know, what is your motive to all this? You know, do you want to have a selfish life? Or you're thinking, oh, if I have children. What happens now? America... You know, a man wrote a book just recently, What to Expect When Nobody's Expecting. America is literally coming to its end because America quit having children. What's happening in China? The one child law. You cannot have more than one child. What do? They want boys to be able to carry on their name. So they literally killed the daughters in the womb so they could have the sons. What's happened in China? China now doesn't have enough women to marry the boys, men. And so they're going into other countries and kidnapping women to bring them in to be able to marry their sons. And it's like, what point are we going to stop being so selfish and narcissistic and idolatrous and say family's important? And we're all scarred from this. You know, we're all walked blindly through this, but God has opened our eyes to realize, wait a minute, you know, family's important. And you think about it. When Moses, a deliverer, was born, the first thing Satan did, he took a hold of a man named Pharaoh and began to destroy every child he can find. And as soon as Jesus was born, the deliverer of all men who will call into his name and make him Lord, the devil took a hold of Herod, King Herod, and he began to kill every child he can find. What's happening today? Child after child is being slaughtered and killed. And if they can't kill the child, they destroy them by giving the child everything it wants and holding and tying the parents' hands where the parents can't do what they got to do to be able to raise the child in the right way. And they tell a parent, you know, you can't spank a child. You can't do the biblical ways of raising a child. Of course, a child who's rebellious says, that's right. You know, they want to get away
with
it.
Right.
But the very same government that says you cannot spank your child and you can't discipline your child in that way, they actually use a, because now all of a sudden your child becomes a criminal. Your child becomes, you know, she's out, you know, violating the law now. The same government that says you can't be physical with your child physically puts metal handcuffs on your child, puts them in a cage, a metal cage, like an animal, maybe in a car. And then they take them to a place called a jail. They take all their clothes off of them. They strip search them. They take them back and force them to be by themselves or with other criminals in the particular place. They stun them with 65 or greater thousand volts of electricity with electronic stunning devices. They hit them with PR-24s and with nightsticks and with flashlights. They shoot at them with 357 magnums and 9 millimeters and 12-gauge shotguns. And they lock them down. And finally, if they don't listen to the very end, they put them in an electric chair and they shock them till they're dead. But you can't spank your child. And they put you in suspicion if you do. Listen, it's an all outright strategy to destroy a generation. That's what it is. And if you live long enough and you raise your children the right way, even though it's going to be a struggle big time in this world, your kids will turn around to you and they'll go, you know what? You were so right.
That's right.
You were so right. Because they have to have a huge battle. There's a huge battle going on. Because Satan is after them. He wants them. If he can't take them out in the womb, if he can't take them out in a botched abortion, as they're rolling around on the table, gasping for their breath of air before a Planned Parenthood 51% of abortion provider takes them out. If they can't live, if they live past that, then the very ones that are meant to raise them up and to protect them, their hands are cuffed, their hands are tied, and they start telling them, this is how, and this is what they're even saying today. They're even saying that, listen, those children are not your children. That's the community's children. That's our children. And we will raise your children. And the whole thing is from the get-go is that the enemy has convinced so many that having children and being family and having a marriage where a godly marriage, the way it's described in the Bible, is wrong, and that this is what it's ended up to. And this is the thing you have to ask yourself. I know you probably go, yeah, I serve God. I love Jesus. Yeah, I don't read the Bible or anything, but you know, I love him. But ask yourself this question. If God, you read God's word, and God said, what you're doing right now and the way you're doing it and the way that you're thinking is wrong about marriage, about family, about children, about the culture, would you change it yourself now? Or would you change your God? Would you change? If truly the husband was to be the head of the wife, not every woman, I'm talking about if marriage, if the husband is supposed to be the head of the wife, like Christ is the head of the church, Ephesians chapter 5, would you say, I don't want to serve that God. I don't want to serve that God. I will only marry a man if I can be over him. If, sir, the Word of God told you that you're supposed to be the head of your wife and you're supposed to protect your family and you're supposed to stick, stay, and stand even when it stinks and you don't abandon your children, I got a question for you. Would you change the way you're doing things or would you change your God? Children, I got a question for you. I know that you may go to Sunday school and you may profess all these things and you memorize scriptures and whatever, but let me tell you something. If the scriptures tell you how you're responding to your parents is ungodly, and that if you don't turn, you burn, would you change what you're doing? Or would you change your God? We got to make a decision. We got to choose as America, American church. We got to choose who is God. Who is our God? If Baal is God, continue doing what we're doing. But if God is God, the God that answers by fire is God, you're going to have to choose. You're going to have to choose. You listen to VFM Radio. We'll be right back after this message. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFM Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.